So glad you all came out. Let me invite you to stand. We'll begin with the time of singing.
No. Pray together. Our Father, we do rejoice. We rejoice in who you are and in all that you have done and are doing in our lives and church. And Lord, we're thankful to be gathered tonight on a special night to look back, at your faithfulness in the lives of Tom and Sheila and their family and in our church. And Lord, we pray that as we are gathered tonight, that you will remind us anew of your character, of your goodness and love for our church, of your faithfulness, of the wisdom that you have and your sovereignty over all the details of life. And Lord, we pray that it would draw our hearts to exalt you even more, and that it would spur us on towards greater faithfulness individually and corporately in the months and years ahead. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time together, and we entrust our night to you now. In Christ's name, amen. Well, please be seated. Well, welcome. We are grateful to have you back tonight. A joy to gather for a special evening to celebrate Tom and Sheila's 20th anniversary here at Countryside. If you're our guest tonight, you've come on a bit of a unique evening. This is not what we normally do on Sunday night, but it's a special evening. Usually we sing as we just did, and we open God's Word, but tonight we're going to do something a little bit different as we look back on God's faithfulness to our church over the past two decades. You know, Christ is building his church. He has promised to build his church, and he is building this church, Countryside Bible Church. And you know, if we were to let Tom talk tonight, which we're not going to, he would remind us that it is Christ who builds his church, and that what we will think about and reflect on tonight is a reflection of God's grace and his work, that we don't deserve the blessings of this life, and we have nothing that we haven't received. And so we pray, and I know he prays, that tonight will spur all of our hearts to exalt the Lord and to trust him. But it's also our joy tonight, and very appropriate tonight, that we honor you, Tom, and express our gratitude and love to you and to your family. It's appropriate that we do that, given your diligent labor among us and the way God has used you as an instrument to build this church. And you know, it was on October 12th, 2003, that Tom preached his first sermon as the pastor here at Countryside. 2 weeks later, on October 26, 2003, John MacArthur came and preached Tom's official installation service. And for the last 20 years, Tom, you and Sheila and your family have been faithfully involved in the body of Christ here. You know, a lot's changed over the last 20 years. You know, if you think back 20 years ago, some of you did not exist in this room. Some of us had a lot more hair than we do at this point. You know, the area around our church has grown and changed considerably. You know, if you're new to the church, you may say, why is this church called Countryside Bible Church? And that's because it used to be in the countryside, even though it's not any longer. You know, we're in a different worship center than we were 20 years ago. Many of the people here tonight have joined us over the course of the last 20 years. Just out of curiosity, to give a sense of that, if you were here 20 years ago when Tom and Sheila came, if you would just stand. Right. That's right. So lots of new faces the Lord has brought over the course of that time. But you know, a lot has remained the same. Some things as Texans we wish maybe wouldn't have remained the same, like the Cowboys still have not won a Super Bowl. The Rangers continue to blow critical playoff games in the late innings. Probably too soon for that one, sorry. But much has remained the same in a good way, and that starts with Tom Pennington as our pastor. Tom, you have remained steadfast over these 20 years in your commitment to live out a high view of God and His Word in both your personal life and ministry. And if you've been here for any length of time, you've seen how that shows up in Tom's ministry here. You know, Tom's consistent, faithful exposition of God's Word week after week. It's been my joy to have a little bit of a backstage view to that every Wednesday and Friday. Tom diligently studying and preparing to preach God's Word. Shows up in Tom's commitment to excellence before the Lord, but that commitment to excellence coupled with a kind and patient leadership that embraces a plurality and the various gifts that God has given to his body, and Tom's humility, his focus on Christ, not on self. So, Tom, I could go on and on about what you've meant to this church and what you've modeled for me personally, but we have some other fun things that we want to do tonight and others who will share as well. But I do want to personally thank you, Tom, for your example to me, for the way that you have impacted me as a man and a husband and a father and a pastor and on our family. You know, we had one daughter at the time sitting in front of your daughter. They were about a year and a half old when you came. And our family has grown up here physically and spiritually, and we thank God for you and the privilege of being a part of this church for 20 years. So before others come and share, we want to just look back on those 20 years. So we have a little video that will help us all to look back. Some of you, you will see things that jog memories. Some of you will learn things about our church perhaps for the first time that I hope spurs you to appreciate the Lord's work here at Countryside.
And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastor teachers. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. There in those two short verses is the plan that you and I should embrace for how the church functions. If we want Countryside to be a church that honors God and reflects God's will, then we should be seeking to get in step with the divine program laid out in these two verses.
Christ has been building Countryside Bible Church according to his plan for the church, as revealed in Ephesians chapter 4. For the last 20 years, our Lord has been using the preaching, shepherding, and leadership of Tom Pennington to that end. But how did this Alabama boy, the youngest of 10 kids, and his sweetheart Sheila find themselves in Southlake, Texas?
So in December of 2002, the elders formed a pastoral search team made up of individuals from different ministries within the church. In January of 2003, we began to bring preachers in that were interested in the church and started that interview process.
Well, I just remember it was a very hard process in ways, and I remember the ladies in the office would meet every day at on their lunch hour and pray for a pastor.
A friend had mentioned to me that he had spoken with Tom Pennington at the Shepherd's Conference and that Tom was interested in a phone call. At that time, I was floored.
We want to begin to talk about the biblical foundation of oversight.
Tom and Sheila had been serving in ministry in California for 16 years.
He really was the one who revamped the organization and structure of Grace to You back in the 1990s. He was here leading us through a difficult financial time. We're sitting in the radio studio in our building. He was involved in selecting the property, putting the building plans together, and doing all of that. He served alongside of me as a pastor at Grace Community Church.
At that point in time, I made a phone call and called Tom and found out he was interested. Some circumstances within his own family's life made it where he thought it was time for him to begin pursuing a senior pastorate. I informed the pastoral search team, and for the next 2 months, that's what we did. We talked over the phone. He would call late at night. Late at night here, it wasn't so late there. He'd put his children to bed there in California at 8 or 9 o'clock, which is 10 or 11 o'clock here. And he would call me and he would ask questions. What's going on in the church? What's the church doing? What's the good things about the church? What's the bad things about the church? And then in May, made a decision that he would come in June. And so in June, he came and interviewed with the pastoral search team, met with the elders, and then on Sunday he preached a sermon.
The last several times I've had opportunity to preach at Grace Church, I've been going through the book of Romans. And recently, I came to Romans chapter 5. It's one of my favorite passages in the book of Romans. Paul has been dealing with a great doctrine of justification.
And then the pastoral team met together again. There again, we did the same thing we did. We listed positives, we listed negatives. As I've thought about that and what were some of the negatives, I mean, really someone said something about he didn't have a strong southern accent. He's supposed to be from Alabama. And I thought, well, he's been in California long enough. Someone mentioned a positive. They said if Tom comes, Sheila comes, which was a real big positive for everyone.
I remember Sheila and Tom coming to candidate. And I remember Sheila and Tom being up at the front and Sheila saying that one of the ways she was eager to come and serve the people and the women here at Countryside was she had just been through a tremendous trial of losing her father, and people had come alongside her and physically cared for her needs. So she said, I'm eager to come and vacuum the houses of the ladies here and just come alongside them and care for them and love them however she possibly could.
We informed him that the pastoral search team was going to recommend to the elders. And so I went to the elders, and recommended the pastoral search team, said they were in favor of it. The elders then agreed to meet with Tom. And Tom came in July and met with the elders, went through a process with them. And then elders made a decision that, yes, Tom is the person we want as the pastor here. I informed Tom of that. He and Sheila went back home and said they wanted to spend some time praying about it. And then he informed me that, yes, they were willing to make the move here.
What I remember about Tom's transition to Texas was he was leaving us. So what was a plus for Texas was a minus for us. Even though that's a hard parting at the point that it occurs, it's by design that we can invest in men like Tom and see God move them to the place where they're going to fulfill their ministry.
When they first came here, the girls were young. I think Jessica was only 2. She was very, very shy. She wouldn't talk to anybody.
You know, when Tom first came to Countryside, the church had actually been through a couple of pretty rough years. And, you know, as I think about when he first came, you know, it was such a blessing to the church, because when he came, he didn't come to be the boss. He didn't come to be the CEO of the church. He had determined to come and partner with the elders in order to minister here and to serve the church. And so I think he was the perfect man to come in by God's grace and really begin this this ministry at Countryside.
Well, it's an exciting time for me as we begin our look at the book of Philippians this morning. It's been a wonderful week for me, actually several weeks, as I've begun to look at this wonderful epistle. Well, tonight's going to be a little different than what we've normally done, a little more informal, a little more classroom-like, because I want us to begin to look at the issue of systematic theology. Now, I'm shocked that some of you still came when you heard that was going to be the topic.
Well, it's my joy this morning to take you for the first time of what I'm sure will be a number of months of study, the book of James. Today we begin what I trust will be a rich and profound journey over the next many months through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Tonight we come back to the Gospel of Mark, and we really come to Mark's introduction. The first verse is sort of a title, if you will, for his gospel, his own title. Beginning at verse 2, we begin a brief introduction that takes us into the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. This morning, it is my great joy and delight for us to begin together our journey through Jesus' most famous sermon. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. This morning, we begin what I expect to be the greatest and most exciting journey of my ministry. For the next 5 years or so, most Sunday mornings, we will devote to studying what is arguably the greatest of Paul's New Testament letters, the letter to the Romans. The book of Ruth. I have enjoyed over the last few months studying this book for myself. Not in the depth that I hope to as we walk through this, but it's been a great journey already for my own soul. It is exciting. It's exciting for us to begin this series together, anchored. That's what we want you to be. That's what I want to be. It's what we all want to be, is anchored in the truth of God's Word. Well, tonight it is my joy to introduce us to one of my favorite books, the book of Daniel. Tonight, as I begin the book of Revelation, I understand a lot more the prayer of Martin Luther each time before he stood up to preach. It was something like this, according to his biographer: Lord, I can't make this turn out well. Won't you make it turn out well? As we begin our study of John's first letter, I could think of no better way to begin than by letting you hear the words of one of my favorite commentators in the New Testament, D. Edmund Hebert. And as he introduces the book of 1 John, this is what he writes. 1 John is indeed a singular, irreplaceable gem among the books of the New Testament.
I'm amazed at how God has gifted him in a way that allows him just to be such a faithful shepherd of folks, not only in his public teaching, but in things like Q&As and informal interaction and counseling, just with his knowledge of God's Word and memory of the things that he's studied over the years.
Again, this isn't Stump the Pastor night. I promise you, you can do that. But if I can't answer it, I'll certainly commit to get you an answer if I can't on the spot. All right? So let's start over here. The first rule is you have to announce your name, so if people don't know you, they know who you are, and then jump into your question. All right. Well, wait a minute. You broke the first rule.
COVID was a challenging time for all of us in thinking through how to continue to shepherd folks well in the midst of some of those challenges, especially in the early days. And Tom was just incredibly faithful to continue to feed our congregation the Word of God. I remember him preaching to an empty auditorium so that we could live stream a service, and just the variety of ways that he fed our souls with the Word from his office at home over video streams and the various other ways that he continued to encourage us and direct our minds to the truth.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee and Commentary.
We are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Sheila has also greatly blessed the women of Countryside through her regular teaching of God's Word.
Well, Sheila is my favorite teacher of all time.
Hi, I'm Sheila Pennington.
She's just humble and sharing her struggles and making it like we don't know what we're doing, and she's this, you know, higher up person, but she's just very relatable.
Sheila is a gifted teacher, and she has been so faithful to use her breadth of experience, her vast knowledge, her wisdom that she has gleaned from years and years and years of studying God's Word,
It is God himself, our faithful God. And ultimately, Jesus Christ is the example. Come to me, for I am gentle and humble in heart.
You know, Tom and Sheila have been a wonderful blessing to our church over the years, and in their songwriting especially, I've been blessed by that. I think it was about 10 years ago that they first began writing music and sent me some stuff, and I jokingly tell people the start of that had to do with one Sunday after church. I was joking with Tom that nobody remembers what he has to say in a message, but they always seem to remember my songs. And I don't know if that was the start of him desiring to put his words to music so that maybe people could remember them a little better. Oh, sovereign God, we praise your power, your wisdom, goodness, we adore. We bow our hearts before your throne.
Tom has been more than a preacher at Countryside. He and his family have been actively engaged in the life of the church. He has faithfully shepherded and cared for the flock at Countryside on a weekly basis and at some of the most significant milestones of life. He has officiated over 75 funerals, memorial services, and weddings. He has baptized 463 people at Countryside, including all three of his daughters.
It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
He has led parents in the dedication of over 370 children during his time here. And he has walked with many through the difficulties of life.
He's always concerned about the people. He calls them before surgeries, and he's very, very kind.
In addition to Tom's ministry to the congregation as a whole, he has provided leadership to our elders and staff.
On the elder board, we're all equal. We have an equal voice. But Tom is our leader. And as our leader, we, in many areas, we will submit to his leadership. And yet, we're all fully responsible for any decision that's made, and we're all equal in that decision. But we have a leader. Tom's our leader.
Sheila really expresses her love to all of the elders' wives. When Terry came on as an elder, I was really nervous about I'm not going to fit in, and she was very encouraging, and she sets a great example.
I've had the privilege to be working here for all 20 years that Tom has been on staff, and have enjoyed both the personal relationship that we have had, those years of weekly meetings in his office, of as the staff has gotten larger, developing into staff leadership meetings a couple times a month. Sometimes we go to meals together. Just both the relationship as well as the leadership, wisdom, decision-making that he has brought to our staff has been wonderful. It's a great balance that he has led us with that I so much appreciate.
A faithful pastor is also committed to his family. Tom has been an example to our church through his love and care for his wife and daughters. He and Sheila have worked hard to maintain the rightful priority of family in the midst of their busy ministry life. God has blessed Countryside with tremendous growth during Tom and Sheila's time here, and he has provided additional buildings on our campus to accommodate that growth.
There will be real movement of earth here.
The elders and I are so excited about starting this worship center project. It actually began as a prayer about how to accommodate the growth that God was bringing into our church. And as that prayer continued, it turned more and more into a prayer that God would not only strengthen us here, but that he would allow us to impact the Metroplex.
As one of the priorities that we've seen as our church grew was that we desired to see other churches planted. We have a model through the scriptures on how to accomplish that, and our pastor was courageous enough to help lead out in that effort and know that we were going to give up a significant number of people and provisions from our church in order to plant a church, but felt certain that was God's call and that God would help us accomplish that.
Through Tom's leadership, Countryside has continued to deepen our relationship with the Master Seminary, from whom Tom received his honorary doctorate. That partnership has included the establishment of a distance location here at Countryside in 2016. Tom's faithful ministry at Countryside has led to other opportunities for ministry outside our church. He has been a gift to the larger body of Christ through various teaching opportunities in the States and internationally, and through the Word Unleashed radio and publication ministry.
Good evening. What a fantastic video. What a great job. Thank you so much for those that participated in that endeavor. The reason it was such a great video is because we serve such a great God. And what a blessing God has bestowed on this church. And everyone in this building knows that. We've all been recipients of God's grace and his blessing in this church. And that's what we're celebrating tonight. You know, in the scriptures it says in Psalm 77:11 says, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your works, your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. Carrie Hardy did a great job this morning pointing us to the God that we exalt for what has occurred in our church and the opportunities that our church has had. Thank you, Carrie. We appreciate you coming and giving us that message. But you know, the scriptures also say that it's good for us to recognize and to acknowledge those who work hard for us in 1 Thessalonians, those who labor diligently for the faith and for the scripture, and that's what our pastor has done. And so that's why tonight we're celebrating with Tom what God has done. We're celebrating how the Lord has used Tom and Sheila in this body. What a great, great gift they've been. And I say Tom and Sheila because they're a match set that the Lord brought. And his wonderful, beautiful daughters that have served faithfully here and grown up here, that we all benefited from getting to know them and love them as well. It's been a great family. I was here when he came. I had been in this church 8 years when Tom came. And there were some good times, but there were some very, very difficult times that came right before he came here. And I remember well when the pastoral search committee had recommended him. And one of the things they said about Tom
was he played football. That's it. That's very important. You know, as the one who participated in that sport, I know that in order to play football, you've got to be able to be a part of a team, and you got to be able to take a hit. And we have a pastor that knows how to be a part of a team, and he knows how to take a hit. Unfortunately, that comes with that shepherding a flock, that taking a hit. But being part of the team is hugely important to all of us, because we don't want a guy that comes in here and thinks that he's going to be the guy that is the superstar. And, you know, there's pastors throughout America like that. But no, our pastor came in, and yes, he knew what needed to be done here. There was no doubt. He was 43 years old. He was well-trained. How many times do you hear him say, "I'm excited"? Well, that's contagious. I'm excited, you know, because our pastor's excited. And he knew what needed to be done. And he started with this group of elders that you saw in that video. There were like five of us that had spent a year working together with the men of this church to build biblical leadership in place. And when Tom came, he knew that we needed to be unified. That was his first step. He began taking the elders into his home. I was one of them. We came to his house, and we worked through the scriptures to develop the theology that came out of the Bible. And one thing your pastor will always say, you've probably heard this many times from 1 Corinthians 4:6, to not go beyond that which is written. Don't go beyond that which is written. In other words, God's word is sufficient. And as we began to look through the theology and the doctrinal statement that this church had and that we wanted to make certain we were unified in, we came to that understanding. And you saw that he started in Philippians, which is a great book for a church that's going to have joy. And our church has joy, right? And then where did he go in that night class? To systematic theology. Why did he do that? Oh, it was random. No, it wasn't random. We needed unity in this church, and we needed to make certain that everyone understood the theology by which God's word directed us and that we were going to move forward as the body of Christ. Unity is the first thing. For those of you that are in our class in 1 Corinthians, Paul first corrected the disunity that they had, because you can't move forward in growing the maturity and equipping the people in your church without unity. Tom brought that about. He brought that about in our church and began what has been 20 great years in this church. And during that time, I have spent lots of time in elder meetings, lots of time in retreats, as we've worked to accomplish what God would have in this church, and being organized by a very, very gifted and a teacher that also is very organized. When we would begin our retreats, we would start with SWAT. SWAT. How many of you know what SWAT is? Somebody does, yeah. Strength, weaknesses, attacks, and threats. And we would go through those to make sure that our church was protected in that way. And we, in these retreats, it was a very helpful time. But it was helpful because, again, we had that organization that comes from a pastor who has that skill set, of which he has many, okay? But one of the understated skill sets that Tom has is he's a foodie. He's a foodie. His girls all know this. They're probably all foodies, too. And but Tom knows where the good food is. And, you know, I remember one time out at a shepherd's conference, this was a long time ago, maybe 18 years ago, and we're going to lunch. At the shepherd's conference, it's a really unique experience to go to lunch because you have about 15 minutes. And we're in Tom's car. And we're driving to this restaurant, and I'm thinking, he's a foodie. He knows where to get the best food in California. I'm thinking, you know, steak, right? steak? Well, as we're going, he says, hey, guys, I know a place we can get great sushi. I thought that was 20 years ago. I know what sushi is now, but back then I thought that was just for women. But he took us to the best sushi place you will ever go to in your life. And I got hooked on sushi. But, you know, I say that because you've all seen. The video was great in the way it showed Tom's gift and his strengths, his ability to teach us God's word accurately, correctly, which we have all been blessed. The love that he has for all of you in this room, how he's ministered to each one of us in our personal times. He's our shepherd. But, you know, I just wanted to make sure that we had this time to celebrate him because, you know, it's a very special time as our church, as a family. So as you think about this time, I hope you remember this. It's a time that we remembered what God has done in our church. We celebrated with Tom and his family what has God done in their family, in their lives, in the lives of each one of us. But it was led by a man who has such humility and great love for every one of us. And Tom, I thank you for being my friend for 20 years. I thank you for the love that Linda and I have felt from you and Sheila. And I love your girls. Love you, Tom.
When Brian asked me to say a few words tonight, he said that there were going to be four speakers and each one of us would have 3 to 5 minutes. And in the 10 seconds Brian has left me, I'd just like to express my appreciation to Tom as well. It was my joy to serve as an elder in this church from 2003 when we called Tom to 2021 when I went off the reservation and moved to Tulsa. And I'll tell you, we appreciate you even more in retrospect, Tom. Of the many things I admire about Tom and that I've learned about him over those 18 years, two really stood out. One was his meticulous sermon preparation. As Jonathan mentioned earlier, this man pours himself into his sermons. He is a wordsmith. He crafts his sermons. And, you know, every time you hear a Tom Pennington sermon, you've got a jewel. It is amazing. It is just amazing. The depth, the application, the truth that's in there. I miss that. I miss that. And he expects those individuals who come into this pulpit to prepare just as hard, to be as thorough. That doesn't count tonight. This is all off the cuff. There's no preparation here. The second thing I admired about Tom was that he never panicked. He never showed dismay or amazement. And we dealt with some pretty tough issues over those 18 years, especially those first 12 months. There were some issues that we had to deal with as elders for this church that felt at the time like they were determinative of the future of the church. Tom never cracked under pressure, never showed panic, never seemed to be at a loss, except one time. And that one time really has endeared him to me because I read one time that a small show of vulnerability is more endearing than a great show of strength. After Tom had been here for just a year or two, we started the February special services every weekend in February. And for those of you who are real old heads, you remember that we walked our way through the solas. And that was wonderful. That was a wonderful series. I don't know if it's ever been repeated. If it hasn't been repeated, it should be because most of you weren't here for that. And it's a wonderful series. But we would book speakers to come in and try to get the big names. We had MacArthur one time. One year, we booked Al Mohler. Jackie Stanford booked Al Mohler, who was and is the president of Southern Seminary. And Al Mohler's not perfect, but I'll tell you something. Al Mohler is a presence. Al Mohler is a genius. So Al Mohler was going to be in Dallas talking at Southern Baptist meetings all week, and we booked him for Friday night. He was going to be our keynote speaker to kick off Friday night, to kick off the conference for the weekend. And as we would always do, this is, of course, long before we had this building, we met in Tom's study about 10 minutes before game time. It was 6:50. And we were waiting for Mahler, and Tom assured us, Al's on his way, Al's on his way. He called him Al. I never did. But about 5 minutes before 7, Mahler comes in, bustling in the room, bigger than life, one or two assistants with him. Oh, good to be here, good to be here. We all introduced ourselves. I was very impressed. Mahler wasn't impressed with me. I've never got the Christmas card. But Tom was very gracious, welcomed Mahler, told him how much he appreciated him taking the time to work us into his schedule. Mahler was equally as gracious. So Mahler took a breath. He was sitting in the chair, and I was sitting behind him, facing Tom. And Mahler said, let me ask you something, Tom. He said, what's your conference about? And what do you want me to speak on? And those words hung in the air. In Revelation 11:1, John says that when the seventh seal was broken, there was silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour. I know what John meant. Because there was a silence in that study that transcended human imagination. And I looked at Tom, and for the first and only time during the 18 years I was with him, I saw shock and awe. I saw a man who realized that our keynote speaker had no idea what he was there for. And after what seemed to be 2 to 3 hours, but was probably about 7 or 8 seconds, Tom said, well, Al, we've been working our way through the solas, and this year, this is the sola, and we kind of asked you to introduce that and kind of give an introduction to the sola. Mahler looked at him and said, yeah, I can do that. And we all got up and kind of silently filed out of the study, not knowing what was going to happen. Now, in all honesty, that was one of the best sermons I ever heard a guest speaker perform. Mahler stood there with no notes, never opened his Bible, and gave a 45-minute drop-dead sermon on that sola. I don't remember what it was, but I remember I would frantically, every time he'd mention a verse, I would open my Bible, go through that to make sure he was quoting it perfectly. He was applying it perfectly. That's the only time I ever saw Tom panic. And we never had Al Mahler back in this church again. So if you wonder why, it has nothing to do with theology. No, Tom has a real heart for this church. He has a heart, he puts the church ahead of himself. Very few pastors do that. You know, we're in a beautiful sanctuary now, but the old heads remember when the only building we had was the old worship center and our three buildings, creatively named the North Building, the Fellowship Hall, and the South Building. We're not into creativity. But we were going to build a sanctuary. This was back in 2007, 2008. Our attendance had really picked up, and we were going to build a new sanctuary. Tom was teaching too often. We were overworking him, and we wanted to hopefully get it down to one service. And we started down that road. Those of you who were here, remember, we had a war chest. We were going to build this sanctuary. And a couple months into that, Tom came in to our elder meeting one Thursday night. And he said, guys, I want to tell you something. He said, I've really been praying about this. He said, what our church needs is a children's building. He said, we need a children's building more than we need a new sanctuary. I can preach more sermons on a Sunday morning, but we don't have any place for our children. And we said, wait, our pastor wants to, you need that big place to speak in. He insisted. He said, guys, I really mean it. We need a children's building. That's why we had the children's building first, because Tom Pennington was willing to do double and triple duty. He puts the people ahead of himself. And we promised him, we said, if you'll do that for us, once we build that new sanctuary, you'll never have to have three services again on Sunday morning. And I want to point out, Tom, it didn't happen on my watch. I hold these guys responsible for that. It was such a joy to be an elder in this church. It was a joy to work with Tom. I've known him since he was 10 years old, when he came and sang at my father's church up in Illinois. We had a great time of fellowship. Yeah, I was 16, he was 10. I wasn't going to hang out with a kid. But it's been a great time. And Tom, the blessing that you've been to Cindy and me and our family just can't be measured. As I said, as much as we appreciated you while we were here, we appreciate you even more from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Believe me. If I had a wish, it would be that, you know, Christ would come while you're still the pastor of this church, and that you would accompany this congregation to the gates of heaven and into eternity. God bless you.
Thank you, Tom. It's a blessing to be with you and to have 3 to 5 minutes that are now 10 seconds to speak of Tom. I just wanted to start with 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 1 says, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock." I start with that because Tom always trained me, we go to the scriptures. If you want to know if you have a faithful pastor, you don't have to look further than the scriptures. When I think of Tom Pennington, I think of 1 Peter chapter 5. I first visited this church in 2007. I was 23 years old, a young seminarian, newly married, looking for expository preaching and Reformed theology. I'd grown up in the church. I loved the Lord. I felt called to ministry, but my theology had begun to change over the years leading up to that, to more Reformed theology and expository preaching. I'd been to Shepherd's Conference in California. I'd begun to follow John MacArthur and read his books. And I thought if you wanted that, you had to go to Los Angeles. And so honestly, my first year of seminary at Southwestern in Fort Worth was really, really difficult for me for a lot of reasons. It was not a good time for Rebecca and I to try to move to California. And I wondered, why does God have me here? I want to be there. That's where I need to be. But a friend told me that there's this guy named Tom Pennington in Southlake, near where you are. You should go check him out one Sunday. And so I did, and I always say my jaw is somewhere on the floor over there in the chapel building where I sat, and I thought, I can't believe this. This is here where I live. I called Tom the next Wednesday and asked if he had a job. He didn't know me, and no, he didn't have a job, but he told me he'd be happy for me to come and to be here. And he shepherded me through how to. I was leading worship at another church and needed to transition, wanted to be here, and he shepherded me through how to do that in a gracious way. And he began immediately to pour into me as a young man. I would just set meetings with him regularly on his calendar and just come in with a notepad and ask questions, question after question. We would spend time together. He shepherded me and mentored me one-on-one. He mentored me in small groups. He invited me to be a part of a group of, I think there was 15 of us or so men that went to a Bible study with him on Friday mornings at 6 a.m. In his home for part of that time and then for part of the time here at the church. And I can't tell you how excited I was to be there at 6 a.m. in the morning. For part of that time, I threw a paper route, just trying to make ends meet during seminary. And so I would get there at 2:30 to get my papers, and I would throw the paper and get done about 5 o'clock. And I was so excited. I couldn't wait till 6 o'clock to get to Tom's house and hear him speak of everything from how do you study the Bible in your own private time with the Lord to systematic theology, how do you make a hospital visit, how do you think about the law and the New Testament? So many formative things that he took us through, and I just was hanging on every word. I sat under his ministry, as you do, from this pulpit. He mentored me in that public way. You may remember in 2008, he taught a teaching seminar that It now has been repeated many times, but for me, my first time was in 2008 on a Saturday. I was scheduled to teach for the first time in this church in the youth ministry the following day. I'd already finished the message from Daniel, and then after that teaching, it was that in that seminar that the light bulb went off for me of how do you do expository preaching. Everything became clear. I spent the rest of that day and evening rewriting that entire message and for the first time taught a real expository message here. And I've never looked back. It has truly marked my life. I was blessed to be able to come on staff here in 2010, which was the joy of my life. My wife and I were so nervous we may have to leave this place. We desperately wanted to stay. And by God's grace, we're allowed to do that. And the reason I think of 1 Peter 5 is because I had the rare opportunity that many of you don't get to have of seeing Tom behind the scenes. And when 1 Peter talks about a shepherd being one who exercises oversight voluntarily and with eagerness, I can tell you that's Tom Pennington through and through. You may not know this, but in order to help with the shepherding in the church, we had a rotation of our pastors who would be what we call the pastor of the week that would just sort of be on call that week to help with some of the shepherding needs that may come up. And so without fail, and the other guys can testify to this too, when I would get a call, and an emergency call, and I would either reach out or go to the hospital, without fail, they would say, "Oh, it's so good to see you. I just got off the phone with Pastor Tom." I couldn't beat him to a crisis with eagerness. He wasn't in the rotation on purpose because we were trying to protect his time, but he just can't help it. He loves you. He's a shepherd at heart, and he will stop what he's doing, even if it's his study day and he's in the middle of a very important passage, to love on his people. He ministered to us in private meetings and staff meetings. I learned from him how the church administration is to run in elder meetings. I learned what it is to lead with humility. Tom is famous for, in elder meetings, when any issue comes up and he can sense that there's a difference of opinion and perhaps it hasn't quite been voiced because men are nervous, that we want to show deference to one another, he will always stop and he'll go around the circle and he'll make every man share his honest opinion on that issue because he believes that much in the plurality of leadership in the church. Tom is my mentor. He's my pastor, and he's my friend. And I'm so privileged to have served under his ministry, and I can tell you he's still my pastor. Just a week ago, in the midst of hard things, I called Tom, and he always takes my call, and he prays with me, and he shepherds me. And that's the man that God has gifted to this church, to all of us, to be our pastor. He'd be the first to tell you he's not a perfect man, but he is a faithful man. He's a faithful man. He's a 1 Peter 5 kind of man. And Tom, I just want to end by saying, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Continue in your faithfulness, brother, until the Lord returns. Thank you for your ministry.
How you holding up, Tom? Pretty encouraging, but woo, it's a lot. It's a lot. I worked here at Countryside for about 10 years before Pastor Tom came. And so when we were looking for a pastor, I'm in a different role because that pastor is going to have a real big impact on my life because I worked here. And when they called Tom, I actually didn't know. I knew Tom by name. I'd met him face-to-face, but I didn't know him. And so you have that uncertainty as far as, you know, wonderful stay here. Wonder what this looks like. And so so some of my early memories were defining for what it would be like. I mean early memories, like in the first few weeks that settled in my heart that the Lord has blessed me. And let me just explain a couple of those. One, when Tom came, he did not come to build a big church. He was absolutely clear that he was coming out of love for God, to love whoever God would bring to this church, and to faithfully teach them God's word. It was just simple. He just wanted to do the work of the ministry. And I've heard him tell many men, you worry about the depth, teaching the people God brings, you let God take care of the breadth. And when I came, it was one building on this campus. And wow, is it not amazing what our Lord has done? Well, you know, a lot of men who have the ability that Tom has to preach, they do all of their shepherding behind a pulpit. And so the rest of the staff would fulfill all of the caring of the congregation. And I wondered about that, because obviously that would have a big impact on my life. And early on, because people knew me, I'd been here a long time, so I'd get a call, somebody's going to the hospital, and so I'd head on the way to the hospital, but respectfully would call Tom to leave a message or to talk to him and say, hey, just want you to know, so-and-so's on the way to the hospital. I'm on the way to the hospital. I got it. Just want you to know. Invariably, I would be there, as Dusty shared, and Tom would walk in the door. And I told him, Tom, I really am fine. I really don't mind doing this. I don't have that expectation of you. And you know what he said to me? I'm here because I want to be here. This is where I want to be. And so that shepherding outside from behind a pulpit was huge. So the other thing that was defining for me was, I'm kind of a guy that I'm not a good yes man. I'm just not. And every time I've ever disagreed with a pastor, there was just a matter of time, and they were asking if I would tender my resignation. And I worked at several churches before I came here. That's why it was strange when I left here a few years ago, and it's like, wow, I'd never left a church that they wanted me to stay. This is so weird. And pastors talk about elder leadership. This is the only church that I ever worked in where I saw it practiced biblically, ever. Because Pastor Tom values the plurality of wisdom. We were talking today. He said, I mean, it would be crazy for me to think that I alone would have the wisdom to lead the church. And early on, we were dealing with difficult things, and there was a non-doctrinal issue that Tom and I disagreed on. And we talked about it, which makes me very uncomfortable when I disagree with the guy that's coming in, and he's going to be my boss. And then we had an elder meeting to discuss it, which was fine, except in complicated situations in our church, instead of a vote, Pastor Tom says, I would like every man to speak their position. I'm like, this is not going a good direction. And I spoke my position, and I was very uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable all night. Came in the next day to the office. Tom's door's open, and he's in the office, and he says, man, Rock, wasn't that a great elder meeting last night? I said, well, do you remember this? I said, not exactly my sentiments, Tom. And he called me into his office and he says, what do you mean? I said, well, so my history is this. Anytime I've disagreed with the pastor, it was only a matter of time till I was terminated. And he's like, no! That was my world. And he said, I would never have you on the elder board if I didn't value your wisdom. I would never want you to agree with me when you disagree, because we need to hear and talk and work through things. And I'm like, this is going to be a good place to serve. This is going to be good. What a blessing that a man would have that and really value that. This church is not led by one man. It's not. Tom is a gifted teacher. This church is led by a plurality of qualified, godly men. Praise God. You know that Tom is a very gifted expositor. I travel the country and meet with different church leaders around the country. And I want you to know his ministry is not just here. I could not tell you how many pastors will say to me, you worked with Tom Pennington. Well, you know, and often they'll say, a specific sermon, Tom. The pastor will say, I listened to this sermon, or I was at this conference, and Tom said this, and I want you to know, it has affected my ministry. So his ministry is much broader than probably any of us know. Additionally, just so you know, while he takes your calls and he ministers to us and he works so hard, he counsels pastors and missionaries from around the world, just so you know. And just as a word of encouragement, pray for your pastor, because his ministry is exceedingly broad and so well needed. In 1 Timothy 4:16, it says, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Watch your life and doctrine, right? We know that. Well, you guys, as we sit here, you can look at Tom and Sheila, and they love each other. And they both love the church. And they both love their kids. Now, that seems simple here, but it's not a reality in a lot of places. It's not a reality. So not only can you follow Tom's example as he teaches, you can follow and watch his marriage. You see his three girls here that love that I draw all the attention to them. Yeah, Jessica and Katie and Lauren. They've grown up in this church. And you know where they're at right now? They're in this church celebrating with their parents. Why? Because they love Jesus and they love their parents and they love the church. You realize how many kids hate the church because their daddy was the pastor? I'm telling you. Watch your life and doctrine. It's so that we can follow the example of those who are instructing us. Tom doesn't just evangelize here because he evangelizes in his neighborhood and where he travels, where he goes, he looks for opportunities. I'm just telling you, he is the real deal. This is not a game. It's not a job. It's a ministry. And he's committed. He's so committed to it. And I'm so grateful. The ministry that I am now, and now I travel and I talk to churches about having biblical elders and training pastors and missionaries in the context of the local church. You know where I send them to see how it's done? It's right here. And Tom has his fingerprints all over the ministry that I'm involved in, because he demonstrated what it looks like in living color. And so I consider myself extraordinarily blessed to have worked alongside Tom for 17 years. We don't work in the same office anymore, but we stay in contact and we still work on projects together, for which I'm exceedingly grateful. It's a blessing to see the growth of this church, the development. What a huge blessing. But there's one thing that has surprised me in the last 3 weeks. I was sent a text, and it was a picture of your bulletin on October 1st of this year. And it says that you taught Revelation chapter 4 to 18 in one sermon. I can't wait to hear it. Tom, we love you. Congratulations on 20 years. We love you, Sheila. Young ladies, we love you. So grateful for you. What a great testimony. Praise God. Thank you.
Tom and Sheila, I'm going to ask you both to come up at this time. I've asked Evelyn Bone to come and present a bouquet of flowers to Sheila on behalf of the congregation. Evelyn is one of the original founding members of Countryside Bible Church. She was Tom's secretary for many years and is also a very dear friend to Sheila. Sheila, we love and appreciate you. We appreciate your ministry, especially your teaching and shepherding ministry to our ladies, but also your ministry to Tom and all that you do behind the scenes to allow him to do what he does in ministering to us, supporting him, encouraging him, giving him counsel as well. Thank you. Tom, you are the senior pastor that I and so many in this room have always wanted to have. A pastor who works hard at understanding and clearly communicating the truths of Scripture. A pastor who can grasp the big picture as well as mine the deep treasures of Scripture. A pastor who is a true theologian with sound doctrine. A pastor who loves the Lord, loves the Word, loves His church, and genuinely loves people. A pastor who has impeccable integrity, both publicly and privately. And a pastor who is a strong and humble leader. Tom Pennington, you are that man. You are that kind of pastor. You have been a tremendous blessing and gift to me and to this church, not only in your teaching, but also in your example. Now, I know that you would be the first to say, and we would agree, that all gifts and blessings ultimately come from the Lord. But we all say, with grateful hearts, thanks be to God for the men like Tom Pennington through whom those gifts and blessings come to us. Tom, we love you. But beyond giving just some words of appreciation, I now want to move on to something more tangible. A number of months ago, the elders informed Tom and Sheila of our intent to provide them with a special trip. We gave them our parameters, and we asked them to work with us to plan a very special, a very unique trip just for the two of them, something that they've always wanted to do. On behalf of the elders and the people of Countryside, we will be sending Tom and Sheila on a 2-week trip to the United Kingdom. They will start out in the historic city of Edinburgh, Scotland, enjoying some of the beautiful sights there, the old town, Edinburgh Castle, and the Highlands. They will then travel and enjoy time in the Lake District of Northwest England. That's an area, a region famous for its beautiful mountain, lake, and coastal scenery. And very unique, very special, they will have a day excursion to Muncaster Castle, which has been in the Pennington family since the year 1026 A.D. With dates like that, you never know. And from there, they will travel and spend time in the rolling hills of the Cotswold region in central southwest England and enjoy visiting some nearby quaint English villages. And then they will conclude their trip with a couple of days in London, visiting some favorite sites, enjoying high tea, and also attending an Agatha Christie play. So what fun. Now, Tom and Sheila, normally with your international trip, you have some kind of ministry or teaching responsibilities, but not this one. No preparation, no teaching responsibilities, no one else's schedule, just the two of you enjoying each other. And it's our delight as a church to give the two of you this very special gift. At this time, would you join with me in both congratulating and thanking Tom and Sheila for 20 years of faithful ministry? Tom and Sheila, we hope that you both today have felt loved and honored. That has been our intent. We love you. Well, at this time, please be seated. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss Tom and Sheila to get to go in place for the event that's about to follow after we dismiss. We have a very special reception planned for enjoying food and fellowship together following our service. There's a wide variety of appetizers and desserts that have been prepared, many of which are Pennington favorites. Now, as you leave, you are welcome to begin your evening with refreshments out in the worship center lobby. You can then continue on out into the courtyard, which is beautifully lit and decorated. And then from there, you can go on into the chapel, where you will find more refreshments. Tom and Sheila will be seated at a bistro table in the chapel until 9 o'clock. You're welcome to go by and speak briefly to them there. Feel free to fellowship in any of these three areas throughout the evening. If you brought a card, we have some baskets that you can place those in. There's one by the door leading out into the courtyard, as well as one inside the chapel. Parents, very important. If you have a child in one of our nursery classes, please pick them up before proceeding to the reception. Thank you for doing that. Well, at this time, Dwight Custis will come in with some closing comments and lead us in prayer.
Well, this has been a wonderful time, hasn't it? I didn't think we'd ever make Tom cry, but I think we did that last little part. What a wonderful pastor it is. What a wonderful day we have had in enjoying this, celebrating Tom's 20 years as our pastor. 21 years ago, we were without a pastor for about a year. This was a time of uncertainty for us and for those of us who were here. But there was no uncertainty with our sovereign Lord God. In eternity past, he alone determined that Countryside Bible Church was to be a light in this part of the Metroplex and beyond. So over a period of several months, as you heard about, the Lord guided our pastoral search team of faithful men and women to a man named Tom Pennington, who providentially became our pastor. I'll give you a short story, personal story. After Tom arrived, I told him that Nancy and I were going on a MacArthur cruise that same month, October 2003, with our extended family. Tom told me to introduce myself to John MacArthur and to let him know that I was from Countryside Bible Church in Texas. I did so, and John MacArthur said to me, and I quote, "You have no idea what you've got." And 6 months later, I went to the Shepherd's Conference in March of 2004 in California, and Tom took me up to the church office for some reason. I don't know why we were there. There I met up with John MacArthur again. The first words out of his mouth to me was I right? What could I say? he was right. Yes, he was right. And we had no idea what we had. We also had no idea how richly the Lord would bless Tom's ministry to us and with us. The Lord's blessing is evidenced by the number of people who have come to hear the expository preaching of God's word. The Lord's blessing is evidenced by the people whom the Lord has brought to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's blessing is evidenced by Tom's rich shepherding ministry to each one of us that we've heard about tonight. The Lord's blessing is evidenced by Tom's extended ministry through the radio, his books, and his writings. It is biblical for us to honor Pastor Tom for these 20 years of faithful ministry. But as Tom says, all the glory goes to our sovereign God. So let's praise the Lord as I close this in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you so much for this day of celebrating 20 years of our pastor, Tom Pennington's ministry here at Countryside Bible Church. And while it's good and right to honor Tom for these 20 years of ministry with us, we give all the glory to you, our great and awesome Lord God. It is you who opened his eyes to the truth and brought him to repentance and faith in the Lord and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is you who brought Sheila into his life to support and share in his ministry. It is you who blessed him with three daughters, Lauren, Katie, and Jessica. It is you who prepared and richly gifted Tom for ministry. It is you who sovereignly brought him to pastor us at Countryside Bible Church. And it is you who blessed every aspect of his ministry with us during these wonderful 20 years. We love you and give you all the glory for all that you have accomplished and will accomplish in Tom's ministry, in his family, and in your church. In Jesus' holy name, we pray and thank you.
Let's stand together as we close in song, and as Tom would want us to take the eyes off of him and look to Christ, I thought we would sing, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me."
Yet not I, but through Christ.
You are dismissed. We'll see you over at the reception.
Fail me now, you won't fail me now.